the last point I was making before the break was about drip feeding technology to people. Okay, here's an example. It's a two word example. iPhone 5. I don't think. See, I'm wondering. There's two questions on my mind. Are they purposely drip feeding the technology to us so that they can keep selling us a product with one tiny little thing that's better, one tiny little thing that's better, one tiny little thing that's better, or is the rate of technological development today so fast, so incredible, that by the time they've brought out iPhone 4, by the time they've marketed it, they've already developed new technology that's far superior for the iPhone 5 and just simply have not released it yet before it can be marketed? Because you made the point, Mark, that it has to work and it has to be economically viable in order for it to be released. So I'd love to hear your guys' perspectives on this.
I think you're right on both fronts. I think they, it's like Microsoft was the master of this, just keep drip feeding you changes or even making what you're using redundant. You have to get the latest or else you're going to miss out. So I think you're correct with that. Just drip feed it because it's an incredible marketing toy. But also in some cases, you have to be careful. I'll give you an example. Today I read in the news that the new Dreamliner, the Boeing jet, is now grounded around the world because their little batteries catch on fire, their little lithium-ion batteries catch on fire, so they're grounding the whole fleet worldwide until they solve that problem. So sometimes it's, as you said, it's a commercial decision. Other times they're just not quite sure and they want to have it tested a bit further because the worst thing we can think of, I mean, we're developing a product now that's going worldwide. The thing that drives us the most is the fear of having a recall or something's wrong. So it's fear and greed driving it, and that's why you're getting drip fed. It's two forces, fear and greed, which is the two basic human elements.
Sterling?
Yeah, I'd like to address something that has been brought up a couple of times about the internet and make a point about a lot of people in your audience. And I love the little clip you have in there about, you know, religion destroys spirituality, doctors destroy law, etc. That was remarkable. I'd love to get that text so I can memorize it and repeat it and give you credit for it. That was really good. But in looking at the pending probable, very highly probable collapse of civilization as they pull the carpet out from underneath the economic viability, these guys who are in control are sociopaths, and they want to destroy the planet. They're like the gunman that goes into the school and shoots up a bunch of kids, except it's the whole planet that they're playing target practice with. And these are very dark souls, and they do not have good intentions for the planet. And as you look at the pending collapse of civilization and the worst-case scenario, we're looking at basically going back to caveman days type of ability and survival where there's no infrastructure. That's the worst-case scenario, and I don't want to go there. I would love to see us get the ability to do an end run around these guys by introducing some of these technologies that ennoble the individual so we don't fall that far. And I have to look at, for example, the internet turns us into a group body, a cooperative body, and I see that as an advance forward in our development, and that our destiny is not to be individuals able to grow our own food, make our own clothes, etc. We're meant to work together. One person specializes in music and makes beautiful art pieces. Another one, another person grows the garden. And, you know, going back to caveman days is not where we're supposed to be headed. And so my belief is that we should try and foster those things that will nourish that kind of a future, and not all hunker down and get ready for the end of the world as we know it. Even though that is a probable future, my tactic is to do everything I can to prevent that probable future by introducing technologies, whether they be incremental or groundbreaking, total transformational technologies I'm for seeing them all come forward. And the only reason I posit these ideas about this incremental introduction is, as I scratch my head and wonder why it's taking so long, I just can't help but wonder that maybe the angels who are ultimately in charge based on the decisions that we make, maybe this is one of the reasons why things are held back, is because we're not ready. That's just, you know, it's one of the reasons that I throw out there as a possible reason that puts the responsibility back on us of let's get our act together and help these technologies move forward, identify the real ones, and expose the frauds. And there's one other phenomenon I want to mention really quickly. I call it the rock soup phenomenon. The scammer who came to town says, we're going to make rock soup. And everyone's like, yeah, right, that's impossible. And they said, well, you know, humor me. And so one lady comes, and she brings the onions, another person brings the carrots, another person brings some potatoes, etc. Before long, they had an amazing soup that had nothing to do with rocks. And I think some of these scammers actually, whether intended or not, I don't think even intended, actually serve this rock soup phenomenon. They come up with a technology, for Mark's sake, let's say the magnet motor, you know, maybe they come out and say, I've got this great device. And so people start thinking magnet motors, and they start tinkering, and pretty soon someone comes up with a magnet motor, or a group of people, because the idea was put out there, people started entertaining, and they found a new phenomenon that we thought would never work. So that's something to bear in mind. Even though the scammers are, you know, should not be getting credit for helping things out, sometimes indirectly and ironically, they may do just that.
Kind of like how suppression actually leads to freedom sometimes. Like what I found very interesting, like right now in the United States, is massive debate about gun control. And again, in the historical context, every single society that has ever banned weapons of any kind, from Edward the Longshanks to Adolf Hitler and Chairman Mao, every single time that the guns have been taken off the citizens but have been retained by the government, the citizens have been enslaved or exterminated. And what's interesting
talking about Australia.
Yeah. And there's also similar instances coming on in New Zealand as well. But the point being that in so doing, and this is happening in the United States right now, is a direct result, I believe, maybe in some cases, of this gun ban talks. Gun sales in the United States have skyrocketed enormously. So out of an attempt to ban guns, what they've done is they've spread them more than they ever were before, because of people's fear of having their guns taken off them. I mean, so unintended consequences are a double-edged sword as well. There can be bad unintended consequences and good unintended consequences. And I also wanted to make the analysis based on your point, Sterling, about sociopaths up top. The American Medical Journal, I think back in, it was either 2002 or 2001, I believe, said that a psychopath is usually a nice, smiling, happy, friendly individual who's rather intoxicating and very inspirational when you first meet them, but doesn't have a whole lot of depth to their personality, and very few long-lasting relationships out of some sort of pretext, such as a business relationship. And the three most likely places you are to find these individuals is business, media, and politics. What would you say are the three most powerful institutions that influence and control human society? Right? So it becomes very logical to me, knowing that information about psychopaths and where they go to, that our society would be run by them pretty invariably. Now, we've come to the end of the show now, so Mark Dancy, have you got any final words? Probably maybe about 30 seconds to wrap up, and then we'll pass it on to Sterling, and then we're gone.
Well, I always encourage Sterling to keep on his quest. I just caution about declaring things real before they are, mainly because you've got to have a responsibility as a journalist to people who perhaps should know better. A lot of these snake oilsmen pushing free energy do fleece people's bank accounts, do take a lot of people, money out of people. In some cases, they're just trying to help the cause, but they're being ripped off regardless. So that's all I'd say. The other side of things, I believe small changes little baby technological changes can lead to huge benefits for mankind, like we're talking about with just solar powered or alternative power energies for third world countries. It will have a flow-on effect to all of us. And I'd like to thank you. It's always good to talk to somebody from New Zealand. I love the way you say sex all the time when you're trying to give the score of the football. And thank you very much for your time.
All right. And Sterling, maybe 30 seconds to wrap up.
Sure. I see free energy as being the next huge revolution, like the internet, the computer revolution, and that we're talking exotic free energy technology, and it's very fun to be on the extreme cutting edge. I acknowledge that I sometimes get exuberant and I get ahead of myself, ready, fire, aim. I'm working on it. I'm improving, but I still err sometimes. I'm the cheerleader. And sometimes I cheer things before they're ready to be cheered.
And he has a fantastic high kick, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much, Sterling and Mark, for your time. One thing that I'd like to add into this to the end is that I fear that my limited experience in life will limit my expectations of what's possible. We'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen, at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.